Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, I do, eh?
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us.
It's a challenge to be a small farmer. Food is in abundance, so small farmers have to be creative and flexible.
Today we're out at Trinity River Farm, and we're meeting with Tom O'Gorman. He's going to take us around and show us his farm. Let's go ahead and get started.
I'll start with this picture. This is what it looks like in the summertime. We have about 100 days of abundance here and about another 100 days where we have something good to eat. But we are seasonal. We don't make an effort to be year-round. I did dream of that years ago. I thought about being year-round, but after a while, I decided to go with the flow of the season. So we do shut down in the winter.
And how did you choose this location for your farm?
My family bought this farm in 1946 after World War II, and they made a go of it. My grandmother had a produce stand just down the street here underneath some walnut trees. So they made a go of this. It didn't work. The first go-round didn't work. They were beginners and amateurs, and they both had young families and mortgage payments. It was a World War II back-to-the-nature dream is definitely what it was. And they made a go of it, though. I was born up here. They lasted it maybe about 5 years and then moved down to the San Francisco Bay Area. That's where I grew up, in Concord, California. And they rented the farm out.
In your youth, you didn't have a real farming education.
No, I didn't. But I grew up growing flowers. My father was an adamant flower grower in the suburbs. He loved it, and I did it. And by the time I was in the seventh grade, I made my living mowing people's lawns. And I quickly developed a reputation for being able to do more than just mow a lawn. And
so you had a green thumb.
I had a green thumb.
Yeah.
I can show you my greenhouse because the food isn't here yet, but
okay.
I'll show you where it starts.
Yeah.
I grew up hearing stories about this place. My father is a very Irish storyteller. So even though I don't remember being young here, I grew up with the stories.
It smells so good.
Is this a loquat tree?
It is. Oh, say about 1973, Norman Coates and Susan Ornelas stopped by here. They'd been down in the Coachella Valley, if I remember right, working, and they had a Volkswagen bus full of tropical and subtropical fruits. I remember they had medjool dates, sapotes, cherimoyas, and loquats. We sat here and had a picnic lunch. After a while, this tree sprouted on its own, and I left it. I didn't know what it was until it made fruit, and I was able to put two and two together. So I have shown Norman this tree.
Yeah.
Well, certainly I grow fruits and vegetables for my living, but trees are my main passion. I grew all these trees here. Like this is a Spanish cottonwood tree.
Wow, that is amazingly huge. How old is that tree?
Oh, I was 21 when I moved back, so 1971.
Uh-huh.
Maybe 71, 72. I can't remember exactly when I planted it.
Uh-huh. So when you moved back, you began to plant trees right away.
I did. It belonged to my uncle, and we made an arrangement where nobody was using it at the time, and I got to use it in exchange for helping him out. He was elderly and retired.
How big is the farm?
27 acres. You're right about in the middle of it now.
Let's take a peek in that greenhouse.
We do start our entire farm in the greenhouse nowadays. My daughter Molly runs this into the operation now. We've raised two daughters here, my wife and I, and both went away to college and both came back. Our daughter Molly is now full-time on the farm, and our daughter Susan is full-time engineer on the coast, but very much part of the farm.
So growing up, did they help with all that's involved in having a farm?
Everything. So the plants start in there, and when they get a little bigger, they get moved in here, and when they get a little bigger, they get moved out there, and then they
kind of harden off outside. Okay.
I'll show you my compost pile.
I love compost piles.
One of the reasons I like to show off my compost pile is because compost is beautiful and it's tangible. I'll walk you over to a tomato patch.
I bet you enjoy a lot of evenings out here at the fire pit.
Yes.
That's a nice setup you've got there.
Tomatoes is by far our number one crop. As a farmer, it is my specialty.
Uh-huh.
And the niche that we have been able to develop is staying home. We just stay here and we let the customers come to us.
Well, you got a great site. You're right on Highway 96, so it's something I think everybody has seen if they haven't stopped already. You know, it's a place that's easy to stop at and pick up the vegetables.
So that's the beginning of a tomato patch. They got in right before the rain.
Oh, so they got watered in well.
They did.
And then there's some trees over there. I'm not sure what kind of trees those are.
Peach trees. Then figs is, next to tomatoes, figs is an up-and-coming and important crop for us. Figs have to be vine-ripened, and they have a shelf life of about 24 hours after you pick them. So unless you go to a farm or a farmer's market, you're not likely to get good figs. We raise cherries, peaches, apples, pears, plums.
And you've planted all of those trees?
Yes, we've grown a lot of trees.
Are those all the ones that I'm seeing over there on that side? Those are all yours? Those trees?
Shortest are peaches, and then comes a row of apples, and then the tall trees are cherries.
Okay.
We leave the cherries grow tall so that the birds start on the top and we start at the bottom.
That's a very smart plan.
Either that or
share.
I just haven't got around to pruning them short like the rest, but it works.
What varieties of apples do you grow?
We have Gravenstein, Jonathan, Golden Delicious, Waltana. We have an assortment.
You know, there's the idea of consumers being co-producers and kind of driving the market by the things that we buy. If we, you know, choose to support farms in growing these really good, tasty tomatoes by buying them, what can consumers do or communities do to support local farmers? What are some of the best things we can do?
I would recommend going out of their way, and I would also recommend being open-minded and flexible.
And then developing a relationship with people that are producing your food.
It's a challenge to be a small farmer. Food is in abundance, so small farmers have to be creative and flexible.
This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking to Tom O'Gorman.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and every kind of thing.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call our listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU and KHSR for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.